In the VIP club, they paid, the only thing they could offer him was a private newsletter and $100. $100, and for that you could be a member of our VIP club, and then we'll carry your name around the world and give you a confidential newsletter. That was it. And what we made from the VIP club would sustain us personally. It could pay the electric bill and the rents and all the miscellaneous stuff. But the big buck items are something that I had to go and beg for. The magic door. It seems like whatever it was, the magic door would open and what we needed would walk through. A couple of examples. I've heard about this liquid-cooled engine. It was a classified thing for some military classified drone high altitude. Excellent fuel specific, and the phone rang one day, and it was Don Bigler, and he was the CEO of Teledyne Continental Motors. And he called and he said, "Hey, I got a really neat engine. I think maybe it'd be perfect for your airplane." I said, "Wow, would it ever?" He says, "Yeah, I think that I'll donate it to you." Wow, was that neat? That means we could leave a couple of thousand pounds of fuel home we didn't need. I was sitting at my desk one day and I had the Rolodex open to a guy's name is Ed King. You ever heard of Ed King? King Radio? You bet. He makes excellent equipment. I think he got bought out or something, but Ed King's not here. But in those days, he made the very finest equipment. The Voyager was a poverty program, but we didn't get our stuff at the junkyard. We had to have the very finest that the industry had to offer. I was sitting at my telephone. I had my hand on the telephone, and I had the Rolodex open, and I was putting in my mind what I was going to say to Ed King for him to donate $250,000 worth of avionics that we needed for the flight. And the phone rang, and I picked it up. And he says, "I'm Ed King. I make some pretty good equipment, and I'd be honored if he would use my product to fly around the world." Another example of courage and the ability to stay at it and don't take no for an answer first. And this guy's name was Bob Jones. Bob Jones, gotta love him. Now, Bob Jones was a salesman for Hercules Carbon Fiber at that time. And carbon fiber at that time, I think, was almost $50 a linear yard. Expensive. Super neat stuff, but expensive. And Bert says that he needed, if with carbon fiber, that we could actually, he could build and design an airplane capable of going around the world. And he was right. Yes, he's right. It worked. Anyway, Bob Jones realized about carbon fiber and the new industry, and he's a great salesman, and he goes to the boss, and he walks in, and he says, "Hey, you guys need to fund this thing. This is some really neat thing." And the boss throws him out of the office. And he says, he's standing, he thought, "Well, it's really important. I'm going to try again." So he goes in, and he goes back in the office and he gets thrown out. He gets thrown out three or four times. And finally, the boss of Hercules up in Salt Lake City says, "Damn it, Walt, I'm tired of throwing you out of my office." He says, "Okay, I'll fund it." Now, while Walt Jones was being thrown out of the Hercules office, we started building Voyager. And we started building Voyager with Bob Jones' salesman samples there in Mojave. Isn't that cool? But the magic door, it seemed to open up, and whatever we needed kind of walked through. I got this book that is written, and I'd kind of like to tell the story about what happened in the Voyager and some of my military days and some other kind of a semi-autobiography of Dick. And I'll tell you one story that was taken out of the book. They wouldn't let me print it. But you're all special, right? You won't ever tell anybody? Now, after the Voyager flight, we were honored with a lot of things. The Collier Trophy, that was a pretty big deal. You got the Citizens Medal from President Reagan, and a lot of awards that went along with that. And one of the very special awards was some of the European ones. Now, the French, They know how to give, the French, they know how to give aviators great reception, right? Remember Lindbergh and so forth? And what they want, they thought so much of this flight, they were going to give us the Aero Club, the gold medal of France for that year, 1986. And so what they wanted to make it really special. So what they did, they went into exactly the same room that the presentation was made from Lindbergh, and they had the same people there, except the people that now hold that particular office or government thing. And they said almost the same words, and they made us stand in the same thing. And they wanted to recreate the Lindbergh ceremony identical for the Voyager. You know, what an incredible honor I thought that was. Couldn't understand what was going on, but it was a really great honor. Now, the next one, hey, don't tell anybody about this, okay? And it may upset some of you, but it's all in good faith, right? Some of you are going to be upset. Now, the Royal British Aero Club is going to present their gold medal to the crew of the Voyager in a special ceremony. So what can they do? And royalty, right? Royalty? And they decided that the presentation was going to be made by Prince Charles, the Duke of Wales. Heard of him? And his father. His father was Prince Philip, and he was the Duke of something. Forgot what it was. Anyway, but one thing is, you've got to admire these people. They're both pilots. His dad is a pilot. And Prince Charles, royalty, line for the King of England, he's a fighter pilot. He flew F-4s and so forth, so he's a fellow fighter pilot. So anyway, we're gonna be briefed about how to handle and conduct ourselves and purport ourselves in the presence of royalty, right? So anyway, they have a special protocol lady. And you've never seen anybody so nervous in your whole life. She was just nervous as heck. And she was going to brief us on exactly the protocol that we had to use to be, to receive this thing from the royal family of Britain. Very special. She was very nervous. And I asked her, I says, since our flight was only made possible because of an invention by Britain. Britain invented... They discovered and invented carbon fiber. It's polyacrylic nitrate fibers burnt in a oxygen-free furnace. Anyway, it lines all the molecules up, and they invented that. And this is an incredible material, as we all know. And I thought, generally when you receive a gift, you say, hey, I want to thank you for this. You were part of the program, and be appreciative. And I asked her, I said, is it okay if I say something about the fact that it's British material? And she just about had a heart attack. Said, oh, God, no, don't say anything. You must do this and this and stand and whatever the protocol is. And I'm an American fighter pilot, right? Now, I'm not going to go and mess up their performance, and I'm going to follow all their rules, even though I have to bite my tongue. But I thought... there's somebody here that can override this rule, right? They can give a special dispensation to accept, the gratitude of what they've invented. And so I'm standing there, and it's a big long hall, and it's all with the royal accoutrements all over and the things and whatever. And it's kind of a long hall, and at this end, there's a purple rope. Purple rope goes along. And this, us commoners, we would stand behind the purple rope. Now there's about 20 or 30 feet of open space, and there was a little stage up there, and pretty soon Prince Charles and the Duke of Edinburgh came in, his father, and boy, they were royal. They had the big royal stuff on and their big thing, and they're standing down there. You know how royalty looks down upon us commoners? And I look at my watch, and it was about 10 minutes before the formal ceremony to start, and I realized, there is somebody that just came into the room who can change that protocol. And he's standing up there on that stage. And so this American, from a free country, right? He had the audacity to step across the purple rope and walk directly up to the royals. And I walked up about this far from his face, and I says, "Hey, Chuck." And I described to him, "It's really good that you guys invented it. Now, you know, I like to say a word of thanks and during the presentation. Is that okay?" Ha! Well, I found out in no uncertain terms that it was not okay. And he said one word that was so emphatic, no, it could only come from royalty. And so I just shrugged my shoulders, turned my back upon him, and proceed back to join my commoners across the purple rope.